Okay, let's go back. Sit up. So we left off yesterday with what seemed to be two different sugyas, which seems to be an underlying theme that connects both of them. The first half of what we spoke about is what comes out of our Gemara explicitly, the issue of if you have a ksav that's balua inside the layer of the paper itself, is that constitute a ksav? So we saw when the sugya ended, Aaron ended up with three different shitas, with Rashi and Rabbi Kreskis and Rabbi Chanano. And then we shifted gears to the discussion about that Tosefta, that cryptic Tosefta with the Bach and the other Echaronim, about when you have a ksav that is covered over with wax, is that considered to be a ksav or not? And all the potential problems with that reading of the Tosefta. So if we are correct that both of these sugyas are really saying the same thing, so there seems to be an underlying question here, is that this notion of ability to read something, is that an integral part of Hilchos Ksiva now? Is Ksiva defined literally by just ink on a paper? Or is the ability to read it is such an integral part of the Maisa Ksiva that its lack thereof will declare that the entire thing is Kamanda Lace, is literally not a Ksiva altogether? So if that's the case, that these two sugyas are saying the same thing, then that the shitas don't seem to be so great for us. Because back in our sugya, in Gittin, it came out that probably the more conventional wisdom was, is that letters that are somehow ingrained inside the deeper recesses of the paper are not really letters. According to Rashi, for sure that was true. That was the Girsa and Gemara, which he followed by Havi. According to Rabbi Kreskis, at least that was the suffix of the Gemara. And only according to Rabbi Chanano, it was different Girsa and different reading of the Gemara, that we could pull off that stunt and say that letters are still called the Ksiva. Whereas in the sugya of letters that are covered with wax, the conventional wisdom seemed to be that the letters really do exist. And Apiyah Lachan is still considered to be a ksiva. That's why in Hilchas Sefer Yetar, in Hilchas Tefillin Mezuzos, we assume there's no problem Chag Teichas, there's no problem Shalik Kusidra, and that was the Magen Avram. The only thing that led us to believe that maybe Magen Avram is not agreed upon was that Bach's reading of the Tosefta. But first of all, Hilchas Tefillin just rejected the Bach outright, said that was a wrong shot of the Tosefta. Even those who salvaged the Bach, they salvaged the Bach by invoking the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah was the only real solution to the Bach that we understood yesterday. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Bach is right. Even though the letters are there, you still chayev. Because mochek is not so much of a function of anas lichtov, it's more of a function of a derech tikkun, and if you can't read the letters, so even though api alocha they're there, but for Shabbos purposes, that's still considered to be melachas mochek with a tikkun. So the overwhelming majority view in the second half of the sugya is that letters covered by wax are letters. So we don't like these two sugyas to be one and the same. Because the first half of the sugya led us to believe the more conventional wisdom is that they're not letters. The second half of the sugya is that they are letters. So something missing here. So I think what's missing here is fairly simple. Yeah.
Why is it? Isn't it just like Rosh says no, Rabbi Kresh says maybe, and Rabbi Chanano says yes? So can't you just build it that most people say yes, as in Rabbi Nachman says yes, Rabbi Kreskis doesn't know, and Rashi says no, it seems even.
Yeah, that's just numbers, even on a piece of paper. That's not really
even. Then Rashi gets more weight?
Yeah, I mean, Agamara, you know, the text of Agamara, the Gears of Agamara, that's like the Gears we've been working with for the last 1,000 years. You know, those words, v'chipal mehave, you know, Ben Chanal is a big Bechidish, you know, real Bechidish. I mean, most of Yishonim did not accept Ben Chanal. Most of Yishonim quote that Yerushalmi that says that the chemical, what was that stuff? Where's that chemist? He was doing some in the lab. So that chemical reaction was not the way Rabbi Chanan described it, that this ink comes blobbing out. Is that the Rishami seems to describe it, the Mamash let us get exposed. So the Rabbi Chanan's shot was not the Rabbi Chanan. So Rishon Rabbi Rabbi Chanan called the David Kabbal. He had a tremendous Pesaira, but him calls that most of Rishon didn't start Rabbi Chanan. So I think the answer is very partial, that the two sugyas are similar but not identical. That there's a tremendous chiluk between the two. When you have a letter that's written on a piece of paper, the ksav is there, it's 1,000% there, and now we're covering it over with something which is external to the ksav, to the paper itself, such as wax. So one could argue, you don't have to argue, one could argue, That's not fundamentally different than closing the book on the piece of paper. That when you have something like ink covering inks, that's obviously the second coating ink. The second layer of ink is about the original ink. When you have wax on top of ink, so that wax is a davar min hachutz. That's something which is a tangential, something which is external. That's not mevatel the ois. That's what the Bach is driving at. That's the Magen Avraham is driving at. The letter is basically still there. Masha'in Cain, when the letter's not there, the letter's inside. It's not a letter that's covered up. There's a huge difference between a letter that's on a paper that's covered up in contrast to a letter that's covered up on the paper itself. When the background itself is goof of being mavli of the letter, so what kind of kasaf is that? It's not the same thing. You're right. They're both examples of something that's there but covered. But come on, there's a big difference between something that's covered with something external to something that's covered with something which is internal. And I think that's ultimately the chilik between the two sugyas. That's not a steer between the two sugyas. That the halacha is that obviously you don't have to literally read the letter. When you have a piece of paper covered with a cover of a book, obviously it's still called the ksav. So you don't have to literally have the ability to read it, but there has to be some kind of efsharut, some kind of an ability to get there. So there's a big difference conceptually between something that's inside the recesses of the paper versus something that's simply blocked with something external like wax. It's most of the pshit ad ma'oid, that chiluk, and that's probably the way we pass in that loch of this chiluk.
So we're comparing ksav balua more to ink on ink?
The ksav balua is probably more of like ink on ink, right? That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right. So if I say, there's something that I think should catch our attention. This idea that we've developed in this whole sugya that, according to many opinions, ksiva is not just ink on paper, but the whole reason why people write in the first place is to and express an idea, for people to be able to read that idea. And if you're lacking that sheer, so to speak, you're lacking that ability to convey a message, that goof is a chisar in the etzem shema ksiva. That idea is not such a foreign idea. We already had that notion that because the message that the letters are trying to get across is such an integral part of why you're writing in the first place, that goofa defines the act of ksiva. Where do we have a similar idea? Not in this exact sugya, in another sugya not that long ago about ksiva. That was interesting. Okay, that was more of a noim, more of a hiddur kind of a thing. Interesting, but I'm not sure that's identical. There was another rishon that had a little bit of a different nuance as to the ability to read it. Its ability to transmit that information is so important that defines the basic sieve itself. When we spoke about the shiur of Enosh al Kayama, so remember we quoted a Rashba Masechta Shabbos, where the Rashba says, what's the definition of Enosh al Kayama? What did the Rashba say? Derech Siva, right? Whatever the Derech is. How did the Rashba define what the Derech is? The Rashba writes, well, I write things because I want to read them in a little while from now. So I want to read them because they're Zichronos, things that I want to keep up. You know, I don't necessarily get to write something to read in 1,000 years from now, but for me to write something and then not have the ability to read it next week, so that's not called Siva. So we weren't 100% sure, did the Rashba mean that's like a Din of Shloke Kederech? I remember we had a whole problem about that. The Rashba means Shloke Kederech, we saw Hacham and they had like towels and Maiselach, Shloke Kederech and other areas of Halacha. Or maybe the Rashba meant, this is like part of the definition of Ksiva. How can you have a Ksiva that's not going to get the message across? If it's not going to get the message across, the normal shear of how long that message is supposed to get across for, so Iglan Milton, you didn't do a Maiselach Ksiva altogether. So again, it's not identical to the Sugya. In our Sugya, you can't read it at all. In the Rashba's case, you can't read it in a week from now. But the common denominator is that the ability to read something does ultimately define the very act of ksiv as well. So there is another potential application of this. Again, it's not identical, but it's almost like a theme, an underlying theme that's permeating the halachas of ksiva. It's a very, very fascinating Rambam. It's the last in my Mekomis. The Rambam tells you... all the details of writing Sefer Torah Tehillim Mezuzos, the Rambam sums up in one halacha, per Alf Halach Yutes. Ein kosen tefillin mezuzah ela b'ksav ashuris. The only script that is acceptable to write tefillin mezuzah is ksav ashuris. V'yitira b'svarim l'chlev af b'yavani b'lvad. There was a special kula that you're allowed to write svarim, maybe even Sefer Torah, in ksav yavani, even in the old Greek script. Where did that come from? So the Gemara Maseches Megillah is a famous Rasha. Yafta Lokim Li Yafes Vishkar Bi Allah Shem. Special kula, a unique kula that some of the Torah that Allah recognizes is Greek. But other ksavim, the Torah doesn't recognize. The Torah doesn't recognize English characters. You can't write a Torah in English. You can't write it in Arabic. Ask me, daf ksav ashuri. There was a big machlekes at Rishonim as to what the nature of this halach is, that the Torah doesn't recognize other characters. So most of the Rishonim learn that this is only a din by Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah. This is a special halacha that Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah has to be written in the official script that the Torah recognizes, called Ksav Ashuris. But other areas of Ksiv and halacha need not be done dafka with Ksav Ashuris. Let's say, for example, a get. So according to most of the Rishonim, a get can be written in English also. Or let's say to be chayiv to writing on Shabbos. If you write in English, you're also chayiv on Shabbos. That's the view of most Rishonim. There was a dissenting view. The Arzaruah was of the opinion, and a small group of Rishonim were of the opinion that when we say that you can't write Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah and other characters, that's because the Torah doesn't recognize the existence of those other characters. That's not a D'oraisa D'ika script. The only script that the Torah recognizes is an official script called the Ksav Ashurim. All other writings are no good for Gittin, you're not really chayiv in the Torah and Shabbos. There is a big problem with that sheet of the Arzaruah. What's the?
Can you say that even at this point in the Rambam,
Right. The Rambam definitely doesn't hold this way, right? No question about it. The Rambam wouldn't buy into this issue, right? No question about it. The Rambam writes if you write numbers, you write numerals. The Rambam writes if you write the Arab numerals, so we have 1, 2, 3, the Rambam writes you would be chayiv. If you write 23, so then you wrote 2 Osius. So they point out the number 2 and the number 3, those are not Ksavish. Those weren't given to Moshe Ben HaSinai. So those are numerals that were started by the Arabs, and that's also considered to be a letter. So the Rambam clearly doesn't buy into this. There's a big problem with the Shita of the Azarua. It's against the Mishnah. You know the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Masech HaShabbos, a kaseh b'chalosh and chayev. That if a person writes in any language, the chayev. Game's over. The Azarua talking about is against the Mishnah, not a Gemara, against the Mishnah. Oh, so that's what the Primogodim said the same thing. Primogodim says that what the Azarua understood the Mishnah very different than all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim thought, Kosh B'Chalosha means if I write in English, I write in the beginning. So I write I-N-T-H-E-B-E-G-I-N-N-I-N-G, in the beginning, sure. So I'm chayav, I wrote all the base I see is. So the Azarua said, no, the Pshat is like this. You wrote the words in the beginning, but you used Hebrew characters. How do you write? In, Aleph, Yun, Nun. Do, the beginning, Beis, Ayin, Gimel, Yud, Nun, Nun, Yud, Nun, Gimel, in the beginning. Like Yiddish. You know, like, Yiddish is fun. It's not Loshna Kodesh. Yiddish is fundamentally, it's not Hebrew. It's a different language that was using Hebrew characters, Ladino. It's a Spanish, Hebrewish kind of a language that was made up that uses Hebrew characters. So says the Prima God, and that's what the Israel Muslim shot in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Kos B'chol Ksav. It's not all right. It doesn't say Kos B'chol Ksav. It says Kos B'chol Loshin is Chayev. You know, the Yom Primer, Kichsavam, V'chul Shalom, they're two different things. There are characters, and then there are languages. So when the Mishnah says, Kaisi B'chol Loshin, Chayev, so that's all that the Mishnah meant. It says, Gavalka, Lom D'Shetera, to the Prima God, except it's not right. Because the Be'al Locha and Hilcha Shabbos comments that the Prima God never saw the Arzaruah, because the Arzaruah was hidden in some manuscript somewhere in Europe for hundreds and hundreds of years. So the Prima Gadim only saw a Rishon who quotes from the Arzaruah. So he saw this sheet that floating around, says that if you write in other languages, you're Potter and Shabbos. So he has to cash it against the Mishnah, so he gave Mishnah Torah. It says the Mishnah Berurah, Achish is a Chibul, the Arzaruah, we found the Arzaruah. It was already rediscovered. They dug it up from out of the Vatican in the 1800s. So the Mishnah Berurah found it already. He already knew it. So he says, if you look at the Arzaruah gives a different... We spoke about this. The same Shtibul Torah in the Rebbe Yehuda. Right. I think we even gave this example at the time. The Rebbe Yehuda also didn't have it. What do you want? The Rebbe Yehuda, people gone, they were contemporaries. They didn't have the Arzaruah. So the Prima Gadim had a snip of the Arzaruah, and he asked the Kash, and he gave it Teretz. So Mishnah Berurah says, Achish is a Kiddel Arzaruah. The Arzaruah asked the Kash himself. The only problem is the Teretz, the Arzaruah says, not such a fancy Lamedish Teretz. That's the problem. The Arzaruah says, you know what it means in the Mishnah, Kosev Chaloshim Chayev? Chaloshim means Greek. If you're writing Greek on Shabbos Yechayev, because Greek is an accepted Ksav, that's what the Rambam is pointing for the Gemara Masechet Megillah. So Kosev Chaloshim means Greek. Teladika Azamra. He claims the Rishami says that. Mishnah claims the Rishami doesn't say that, but he claims the Rishami says. So whatever the Azamra meant, I didn't mean, he didn't mean like the Prima Gadda Shikotar. It's a great Shikotar, the Prima Gadda, but the Maisa is not what the Azamra said. Anyway, the bottom line is that everyone agrees that Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzos cannot be written in other characters. That's not a Shaila. Whether that's a Din Kol Torah Kula, it's a Din Prati and Uchas Tefillah, is up for grabs. That wasn't that topic. This is just, I was reading it, so I remember this. Okay, back to that story. So the Rambam continues. The Ukva Nishka Yevanim in Olam. We don't have Greek anymore, the old Greek. The Nishtabish, the Avad. So the Greek of today, the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, what are they in Greece, in Athens? What are they, what letters do they use in Greece today? They use Alpha, Beta, Gammas? Is that true? No, what? Yeah. They use the same. So what does this mean, that Nishka, Tzav, and Olam? What did they use in Greece and the year 300 BC?
They used to have a better translation of Greek to Russian.
No, that's not about the translation. It's about the characters, the Tzav.
We always say language always changes over time.
The Rambam is describing the characters, not describing translation, isn't he? Isn't he? Same alphabet. As from 2700 years ago?
8th century BC.
So does the Rambam mean the Kvanishka, the translation? Who said you could have write? When the halach is you can write a Sefer Torah in Yevani, so that means you're writing the Greek translation of the Torah? Is that what it means?
You say it from Megillah, no?
I don't know, I'm not sure. That's all Sugi Masechet Megillah. I don't know. So when Ram says Nishki Yevanim in Olam v'Nishtavesh, maybe it means the language is different. The language probably is different. I mean, everything changes. Old English is also not the same as today. I don't know. I'm not sure what the Ram is. I don't know. So I don't know too much Greek. Mary Yaakov knows more Greek than I do. You know, he knew Greek because my oldest son, his babysitter was a Greek lady who lives in, we lived in the Heights, so he was our, she was his babysitter. So she used to sing them songs in Greek. So when he was a little boy, he was like 2 years old, so he knew some like nursery rhymes in Greek. I guess that was interesting. I wasn't sure what, I'm not sure exactly what was in those nursery rhymes. I was afraid to ask, but whatever. It's Nishkim and Olam. We'll leave it like that. Okay, he doesn't remember anymore. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is, Lefikachin Kaiser Yom Shalash Rashir is fine. Okay, that was all the intro. This is not our topic. Now we begin our topic. V'tzorchli zor b'chsivason, you have to be very, very careful when you write Sefer Torah Mezuzos. K'dei shelo tidbak os ba'os. The letters can't be touching. Shekol os she'ena or mu'akif lo ma'abruch osea posel. We're going to hopefully get to that later on in Maseches Gittin, whether that applies to Gittin as well. But now we get to really, really our topic. V'chol os she'ein ha'tinok she'ein lo chochab lo sochal yochel likros apostle. Any letter that a child, not a very, very small child, not a very foolish, not a slow child, a regular, normal, regular kid, if the kid can't read it, then it's apostle. This is right out of the Gemara Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara tells us a story that once there was a vav, they couldn't tell whether it was a yud, it got scratched out a little bit. So the Gemara says, you bring a kid who's like, you know, a regular, normal, mediocre kind of a kid, and he tests it, and whatever he says goes.
What age is that?
Gemara says, I think 6 days safe. I'm like, that's 6 years old. Biberich. I was once called in by a get. So I was once called in when I was a little boy. I was called in to, we had a rav who lived across the street from the house. And I remember he called my mother once. He said, yeah, send your son over. We need him for something important. No idea what the rabbi wanted, but I still remember how he was at. What did my mother make me do? I'll never forget this. I was 6 years old. What did she make me do? You guys wouldn't even understand this. The rabbi called me. Rabbi needs me to come. What'd she make me do? I put on a white shirt. It was like a Sunday morning. We were playing ball or something. You have to put on a white, you're going to see the rabbi. You're not going to put on a white shirt to go see the rabbi. What's the habamina? It was like not even a habamina. So I remember getting dressed up, put on a white shirt. I put on my whatever was a resemblance of Shabbos clothes. I went across the street. I remember like yesterday, this is over 50 years ago. I remember like yesterday that the rabbi was sitting there and the rabbitzin was sitting like in the front room and there was a lady sitting with the rabbitzin. And the back, and the side, the rav was there and there were some other men floating around and they pulled out a piece of paper and they showed me and they asked me, what letter does that look like? So I must have said the right thing because they said good and they gave me a candy or something and they sent me it's Matur Neshizish from the age of 6 years old. Okay. Anyway, so Tosis writes on the spot that even though the Gemara never says Lagabi Git, the Gemara says Lagabi Sefer Torah Mitzvos, but Tosis, that's the same thing. It means L'maisa, the way of knowing is a letter good if a little kid knows how to read it. Okay. So the Rambam continues, Lefikach, because that's the din that even a child has to be able to read it. Tzarech lizor b'tzuras ha'isiyas, shlo tidba yud, levav, levav liyud, lokof lebeiz, lebeiz lokof, lodal l'reish, l'reish l'dalin. V'chein kol chayetze b'zeh, you have to be careful. All the letters, make sure you don't mess up. Ad shiyarutz kol ha'kayre bohen. What does this five words mean? What does it mean? At Shiyaros Kol HaKayre Behen. So that a person who's just reading quickly would simply just read through it. I wouldn't make a mistake. If you have vavs that look like yuds, you're like, you may have to stop and think, is this a vav? Not a vav. What is the letter before? I forgot what the pasuk means. Oh, it's a vav. Oh, it's a yud. That's no good, says the Rambam. It has to be Leman Yoritz HaKayre. You have to be able to just pick up the cloth. Shema Yisrael Shem HaKayre Behen. After Yisrael Shem HaKayre Behen. What is that? A bez or a chaf? I remember once, Seifer was once at the camp or something. He was checking tefillin, and he opened up a parasha of Kaddish, and it says V'yom Hashem Am. It's supposed to say Zochor Hashem Hazeh. Seifer wrote the parasha, made a mistake. He wrote a base. I mean, it was a sloppy job. It was a base. So I remember the Seifer picks it up. He says V'yom Hashem Elam Zavor Hashem Hazeh, to highlight to us that if you would read it, you would think it was a base. Oh, it doesn't say Zavor. No, it must be Zachor. That's exactly what's possible. That's the Shiat Shiat Tekari Behen. So there's a little bit of a steer in the Rambam here. What are the criteria to look at whether a letter is kosher or not? The Gemara gives the Shiat of Kriyas Tinoik. The Gemara says, Beferish, Menachat of Choftes. If you have a Vav, you can't tell it's a Vav or Yud. You have a Zayin, you can't tell it's a Zayin or a Nun. So you're bringing a little kid. That's the Shiat HaDover. And that's what the Rambam calls at the beginning. And then at the end, the Rambam gives you another story. Atchiyot Zakaribahen. So Reb Chaim said, it's not a stira, it's the same shir. The emes of shir is Atchiyot Zakaribahen. That's Nipsal Moshe Ben Dos, that defines Ksiv Atchiyot Zakaribahen. It's a very, very hard shir to quantify. How am I going to know whether it's Atchiyot? Okay, read it really fast. As fast as who? As fast as the guy who davens mincha? As fast as the guy who finished shachris in 10 minutes? Asher Shraya's time. They're different styles of writing. We're good friends, okay? They're different styles of reading quickly, okay? So what is that? You know, it's a curry. It's a very, very hard thing to quantify. So Chazal Mishair and said, if a six-year-old kid, you don't need the kid to read it at Shiyar, it's a kid. That you don't need. The kid's reading very slowly. He just finished all his basic school. So, Shema. Yeah, that looks like a yud. That looks a comet's yud, yud. Come, that looks like a base. That looks like a yud. The kid's not yoruts, but the maisi gets it right. So that's the quad. That's the test. That's the shir the Chazal came up with to put into practice what the real shir is. The yemes of shir is that shir, it's a curry boy. It's Reb Chaim's word. So why is that the shir exactly? Like what kind of shir is that shir? It's a curry bay. Why is that the shir? That defines my tefillah. I know what it says here. If I read it slowly, I'll figure it out. I know exactly what it says here. I meant to write a nun. And if I look carefully, it'll be a nun. But if I read it quickly, it'll look like a little bit of a long zayin. That's possible with the raisa. Why is that the shir? Man, you're a curry ben. What's the answer? Because ksiva has to be able to be read. That a ksiva that can't be read is the shkin ksiva. And the shear of Kriya is to be able to read at a normal pace. A shear it's a Kriya boy. Like the Rashba. It has to be normal. Everything is given normal. So we have all these different halachas that are all coming together that the idea of Ksiva is not just some arbitrary ink on top of an arbitrary surface that's put away and nobody can actually look at. It has to be legible. What is it? What's meant legible? It's got to be legible for X amount of time, like normal. It's got to be readable right now at a normal pace of Leman Yoritz HaKarei, reading at a fairly quick... People generally read Leman Yoritz. People tend to read slowly. People don't read at the pace of a six-year-old. So it's got to be a normal pace of reading. And any time that you cover that ink with something, you're asking for trouble of detracting from the readability of that ink. So if you just you know, close a piece of paper, put a cover on it. Nah, come on, that's not a lack of a kriya. Open the book. If you threw ink on top of it, that's the zichel gamri bottle of mavuto. If you put wax on top of it, we can discuss. If you put the ink invisible inside the crevices of the paper, we could discuss. Now, the answer to those two cases of the ink inside the crevices of the paper, the ink underneath the wax, may not necessarily be the same thing. It may be that we're more comfortable treating the ink covered with the wax as still being legible, whereas the ink that's inside the crevices of the paper is not being legible. That's the nekudas of machlokes in the two parts of our sugya. But the entire sugya, there's one thing that screams out loud and clear from the entire sugya. That ksiva is not just ksiva. Ksiva requires that added dimension of kriya as well. That's pretty much the theme that permeates everything we've been talking about. And now the details you have to just iron out and work out as you so desire. Yeah. That has a certain degree of readability also. Right. You mean that the way the Mishnah Berurah is presenting that the Mishnah Berurah put the big emphasis of readability on Shabbos because that's Lachas Machshavas, and he kind of downplayed it. What we're saying is that, no, maybe they really are fundamentally the same. Right, I hear you. Interesting. I hear you. Sirtut, right. By the Sirtut picture, right.
Sivan has to be
readability. Okay. Right. We'll throw a sirtut back into the mix. I told you that all these things that we've been learning for the last 3 weeks about ksiva. I told you that's the theme. There's like any sugis now. You start to learn one sugi, another sugi, three, then you start to go back to the previous sugis. You start to realize there are themes that are developed in halacha to try to get a little bit of a better glimpse as to what's going on behind the scenes. Okay, yeah.
You say that the reason why you've got to read through it quickly or have a kid is because it can't be the context telling you what the letter is. It has to be the letter telling you what
could
the
be, letter is. Could be. Okay, everybody, ready for a new sugi. Brand new sugi. Guess what? We'll take a little break from